Welcome to the Survive to Thrive Radio Network at www.survive2thrive.net. Times are getting tough for most of us, and being prepared has never been more important. All of our hosts strive to keep you well informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas of your life. If you feel that the shows and website are informative, please share this information with your friends and family. If you would like to see certain topics covered, please let us know. Join us on Facebook to help spread the word. You can find the link at the bottom right of the Survive to Thrive homepage. EnerHealth Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with important information, but also with highly effective products that produce real results, such as EnerFood, Coconut Milk Powder, Liver Cleanse, Coco Mojo, Silymarin, NutriCafe, and introducing the new 40-day, 40-night Organic Preparedness Pail, a preparedness supply unlike any other on the market today. Supporting EnerHealth supports both this network and your own health. Without good health, we go nowhere. Go to survivetothrive.net and click on the EnerHealth banner on the top right for automatic discounts, or call them at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enerfood.com. That's enerfood.com. enerfood.com. A big thank you to all of our listeners already taking the products that EnerHealth offers. We truly appreciate it. We thank you for your support and encourage you to listen often to stay informed during these crucial times.
Well, hello, 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 my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry program here on the Survive to Thrive Network. My name is Nathan Liel, and today is Tuesday, July 19th, 2011, the year of our Lord. For those of you taking notes, the website is watchmanscry.com. And before I begin, I want to say thanks to all of you that have sent your information, your findings, and the results of your research on the topic of Comet Elenin. Over the last 2 weeks, Comet Elenin has been the topic on this program, and if you miss those shows, you can go to watchmanscry.com, and then there will be a link on the front page, and you can go into the archives and listen to all of the shows. All of the archives are located there. Please share them with your friends and family, because we need to get the word out on the season that we're in right now, what time it is. Now, last week I had Augusto Perez as a guest on this program, and he shared some very insightful information on this topic of Comet Elenin. And the thing that makes Elenin so interesting is that, well, you know, folks, honestly, we don't know. And it's only 2 months away before it flies by. So if her threat is real, then we're going to be finding out real soon. In my research, as I've been trying to study this matter, I've also come to find out that this fall, there's going to be several asteroids that are going to be passing by us. And this asteroid, if some of you are taking notes and you want to check this out yourself, this asteroid is called asteroid YU55. And it's expected to miss the moon by just 25,000 miles. I guess that's pretty close. And this is supposed to happen on November the 9th. In addition to that one, we also have around the same time two other asteroids that are going to be zipping by us and the moon. Another one is called asteroid 1996 FG3. And then there's another asteroid called 1036 Ganymede. And that's spelled G-A-N-Y-M-E-D. And in addition to these asteroids, we also have two other comets that are going to be flying by. Now, these are all going to be happening in that season of October and November. And the other two comets are called Honda, like the car maker, Honda 45P. And then there's Comet Levy. So, my friends, with all of these flybys, at minimum, it's going to be a great photo opportunity for amateur astronomers and all of those that are the real astronomers. Now, again, one thing I have to say, because I've really, really been contemplating this and thinking about it. I want to say this, my friends. If perchance these things do not become major events, in other words, if they are non-events, I can see the potential for some scoffing to occur with some of your friends or family or people that you're trying to warn. If Elanon turns out to be no big deal, there's a chance that your friends that you tried to warn at work or at church, they might use this as fodder to make fun of you and mock and to say, you know, you're just a gloom and doomer and all you do is think negative. So because of this, and since it didn't come true, I'm not going to listen to you anymore. And my friends, I think that we need to have that potential on the table, because some people may be disappointed and their disappointment might be a tax to all of us. Now, in addition to that, there may be some people that are preparing because they're really, really scared. And if Elanon turns out to not do the things that some are concerned about, some of those that are preparing might be tempted to just go back to sleep. And I'm saying all of that because Elanon is not the only thing that's going to be threatening this planet, this country, and this world. And my friends, please do not let this happen to you. These comets and these asteroids may or they may not do anything. I have to say that. I officially have to say that because we need to have the intellectual integrity and honesty to face that. Now, there's another reason that I'm saying that, and that's because of this. As Augusto was sharing last week, he was stating, and through my own research, I have also confirmed this, the biggest threat that we face as far as what's happening out in space and what's approaching us out in the solar system, the biggest threat is not Comet Elanon or some of those other comets that are going to be passing by us in September through November. Now, if Elanon does turn out to be a threat, we're going to have massive earthquakes as we expect it. However, listen to this, folks, and I said all of that to get to this point. The biggest threat that we are facing is the huge, huge neutron star that is out there. And this star is our sun's binary brother. And this thing is what has been affecting our solar system for several decades now. And it goes by many names, Nibiru, Nemesis, other names. And that thing is going to continue to affect this planet with Earth changes in the coming years. Now, on today's program, I'm going to be sharing some of the things that we need to be concerned about and that you need to hear. This is important information, but I'm not going to be talking about Elanon today. I'm going to be talking about Elanon and the rogue star in some future programs. And for those of you that might have heard my Watchman's Cry program over a year ago on this topic, I had a guest, Benjamin Baruch, and Benjamin shared the content of a conversation that he had with a plasma astrophysicist. And this astrophysicist is a PhD. He's worked for NASA, and he's an expert on the sun and astronomy. Now, this doctor has been kept anonymous for security reasons, but he told Benjamin that starting in 2011, and when we recorded this program, it was at the beginning of 2010. I believe it was in February of 2010. And he told Benjamin that starting in 2011, that we would begin to see the results of this massive dark star. And if you have not heard that interview, I invite you to please go listen to it. You can go to my website at watchmanscry.com and go to the audio link on the left. And when you get to the audio page, look for message number 145. It's called Scorched Earth. And on that program, we talked about the events that were coming. Again, folks, this was done over a year ago. And now here we are. The things that this astrophysicist warned about are now before us. We have the scorching drought from the sun. We have killer weather. We're seeing volcanic eruptions. We're seeing very, very violent earthquakes. And folks, we're just getting started with these things right now. Now, I have said all of that to now say what I'm about to tell you. I finally had a conversation on the phone with this doctor. This occurred just a few days ago at the end of last week. And when I was talking to him, I asked him many, many questions. I asked him, what can we expect based on his theory of the rogue star? And he answered me. And folks, let me sum it up with this. Right now, we're just getting started. He told me of some things that we're going to be seeing. He told me of some things to be looking for. He named some areas of the world that he's concerned about and where he expects some volcanic eruptions to occur and where he expects earthquakes to begin. He explained to me some of the fault lines that exist around the planet and through some areas that most of us don't even think about. And he shared with me what the damage is going to be. Now, I'm going to be sharing that phone conversation and the things that he told me on a future program. So please be looking for that. Now, some of you might be asking, Nathan, why can't you just share it right now? Well, it's because I need to really, really do some praying about this, and I have to have the release from God on when the right time to share it is. But my friends, suffice it to say, if this professor is correct, and so far he seems to be correct, this thing out in space, this rogue star, this neutron star, whatever you want to call it, it is going to be a very, very big player that's going to usher this planet into the tribulation period of the book of Revelation. And folks, every one of us needs to really, really be watching and paying attention, because those that do not pay attention are going to pay somewhere else. There's always a cost, my friends. Jesus said to count the cost. And right now, we must all be preparing for a very shaky future. Of course, the primary preparation that we all must be doing is spiritual preparation. And then after that, it's practical preparation. Folks, the future is going to be very, very shaky. It cannot be stopped, and it's headed right toward us. Now, right now, it is July 19th, 2011. For many of you, it's very hot outside. At last count, as I've been watching the news reports of the weather in America, I've seen that over, 13 to 15 states are now in some sort of heat wave. The drought is spreading. By the way, I've talked about the drought over the course of several years. And for those of you not familiar with this program is first and foremost a microphone for Watchman's Cry Ministries. Watchman's Cry is a ministry that God has raised up to warn the world of what is coming to this planet. And by God's grace, he has allowed me to experience encounters with him. And through the Holy Spirit, God has allowed me the privilege of having prophetic dreams and prophetic visions on what is to come. And he has also shared words of prophecy on events that are coming. And God has revealed that this nation and this earth is under his divine judgment right now, my friends. And over 2 years ago, he gave me a word of prophecy that is published on Watchman's Cry. 3 weeks ago, I talked about this word of prophecy, but I just want to mention it real quick again. On March 18th, 2009, God gave me a word of prophecy about fallow ground judgment that's coming to America. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there's a portion that says, now folks, please listen to this. Therefore, the land shall become a desert. The plantings shall dry up as dust. The land shall be sick. It shall harvest death. The visitation shall be a drought from above. The sun shall give her portion, and the cattle shall starve to flesh and bone. Why? Because they rejected him, the champion of their soul. Therefore, their champions of the land, their herds, shall be destroyed. If you live in the Midwest or in the southern part of this country, I don't have to convince you that right now there's a drought. And I know I spoke about this 3 weeks ago, but I'm saying this to be clear. The events of today's weather are not coincidence and random weather. What we're seeing right now is the outward physical manifestation, which is drought, dryness, fallow ground. This outward physical manifestation is an illustration of the inward condition of men's hearts right now, my friends. And today, men's hearts are dry towards God. They're in a spiritual drought right now. And is it any coincidence that this drought is centered around Texas and the South? Folks, the South is the Bible Belt of America. And right now, the South is in a drought. This is a sign that screams before us. But who can see it? Several days ago, I saw that Oklahoma said to their residents, pray for rain. And over the last few weeks, the last few months, the last few years, I have stated that the remedy is not just praying for rain. The remedy is deeper than that. The remedy takes more work than just gathering together and lighting a candle and saying, God, send rain. The remedy for the drought is repentance. The remedy is for all of the people to break up the fallow ground of their hearts. It's repentance, my friends. But who's going to do this? Which preacher down in Texas has the guts to say this? Hey, preacher man, tell the people the truth. It's time to quit playing church, and it's time to quit playing games. Now, is this going to happen, my friends? Are churches going to call solemn assemblies and get together and voice their open confession to God that, God, we're sorry for our waywardness, that we have left our first love? Are churches going to do that? I guess we'll see, won't we, my friends? Now, the name of this network is Survive to Thrive. Some people probably hear that word and they say, survive what? What are you talking about? When you think about that question, survive, how many of you received the memo? Did you get the memo, folks? Nathan, what are you talking about? What memo? Well, the memo that contains the information of what's to come. Also, the radar that screams out inside of every one of your hearts. And I believe, my friends, that most of you that are listening have received the memo from God. You have a curiosity, an awakening. You have your hearts being stirred. And you can look around and you can see that there's reasons to be concerned right now. Most of you are smart and you're awake, and that inner radar inside of you blares like a tornado siren. And some people, the memo of warning sounds like that old show, Danger, Will Robinson, Danger. Things are approaching. And that memo is a sign. It's a path of an awakened soul that says, the bridge ahead is out. It is not working. My friends, the signs are upon us. The signs are getting larger and brighter. The sounds of warning are growing louder. But who can hear those sirens? Not everyone can hear them. Most of you have learned this. We all have members of our own families that cannot hear it. We all have friends that cannot hear it. And here's the next amazing thing about this matter. Do all Christians hear the warning, my friends? Surprisingly, no. No, they don't. Do all spiritual leaders hear the warning? Again, no. Why? There's many reasons, and it would take many sermons to explain, but the bottom line is this. The word survive. Now, folks, please think about this, and please hear me when I say this. The word survive is going to be a part of a future question. And that question is going to become more common. For example, the question is going to be asked about this city or that city. The question will be asked, so in that city, how many survived? How many survived in Los Angeles? How many survived in the Bay Area? How many survived in Atlanta, in Memphis? Some of you might be saying, Nathan, survived what? What are you talking about? And that, my friends, is what we have to be listening for. Because things are coming, folks. And it's not just one thing. It's not just one episode that's going to happen on a certain date and then we're done. It's going to be many, many things. Today, I want to talk about some of the things that are approaching. And these things are in many categories. We all need to be concerned, my friends, because unless you wear spandex-colored briefs and you also wear a superhero cape, you should be concerned. Because since most of us are not Superman and since most of us are not bulletproof, we need to pay attention, folks. So once again, here we are, mid-July, in America. What are we facing in this world? Folks, if any of you have got on the news for any length of time, right now we're facing major catastrophe in several fronts. We're facing economic catastrophe, economic meltdown, economic collapse, and we're going to talk about some of those things on this program. Also, we're facing crazy, crazy weather events. As I stated, the drought is happening right now. We're facing political catastrophe. Right now, the Congress and the President, the Senate are arguing back and forth over how to save the nation of America. How to raise the debt ceiling, whose idea is the best, which one is the least painful, which one should they do. A lot of wrangling and anger, a lot of hurt feelings, I'm sure, a lot of people having little fits. Obama stormed out of one of the meetings several days ago. Are they going to solve the debt ceiling problem, my friends? Will they? And what happens if they don't? Some of you that have been paying attention have heard what will happen if they don't. There have been threats that some of you that are receiving your pensions from the government, your Social Security checks may not go out. Nathan, they would never do that. And don't talk about that. It makes my heart beat quicker. You know, folks, let me just touch that just briefly. How many of us get scared and nervous when we hear of that potential threat? It's scary to think about that. For those of you that are retirees and you count on that Social Security check to pay your rent, to buy food, to pay bills, what if it wasn't there? Then what? Folks, let me say this. Eventually, the day may come where it will not be there. The day may come where the rules are all different, where the way that we think when we wake up will be different. The priorities are going to be different. Our perspectives are going to be different. Up to this point, I've been warning and warning and warning that these things were coming. I'm not the only one, by the way. I'm just one voice out of many. God has shared some visions of the landscape and how it's going to look when these things arrive. And the painting that illustrates how it's going to look based on what God has shown can be found in the book of Lamentations. So if you want to know how America is going to be looking when it really arrives, read the book of Lamentations. 5 chapters. The siege of Jerusalem when Babylon arrived. They starved to death. They were hungry. They pined away. It was horrible. Jeremiah saw these things. Social Security going away might happen. It might not happen. It might happen temporarily. Now, when we compare today's events and the threats of what may come to Bible prophecy, folks, what we're witnessing right now are all of the ducks to be placed in the correct order for all the pieces to come together for the beast, new world order, end time empire of the book of Revelation to come to fruition. When the new world order beast rises up, it's going to promise to take care of all of the problems. It's going to promise to feed everybody. But chaos has to come. And they're planning chaos right now. Right now, what we are witnessing is an engineered demolition of the economies of this world. And America has to be destroyed as an economic power. So your Social Security check may be interrupted at some point in the future. How long will it last? I don't know. But those are the things that we're facing. And right now they're talking about it. I've shared several times that I believe that eventually the federal government is going to nationalize everybody's retirement accounts. They're going to steal your retirement. I had a prophetic dream that illustrated this. It's going to be stolen, folks. And then you will be given a little IOU. We'll take care of you for the rest of your life. Sorry, but we had to do it. We were broke. Those things are coming. In addition to that, we're facing the drumbeats of war. We're facing a Middle Eastern crisis. And coming from the Middle East, there's now the threats going back and forth between Israel and her neighbors. That's going to eventually happen, folks. We're going to see war in the Middle East. We're going to see Israel in a new war. And that thing may spread throughout the region. And eventually the United States may be dragged into it. And then on top of that, we're facing a societal breakdown. The coming erosion is going to involve all of us, my friends. It's going to involve reactions of crazy people in cities throughout the land. Well, there's the music for the break. We're going to keep talking about this on the other side of the hour. Folks, don't go away. We'll be right back.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Good readiness must include storage of high-quality food that will build us up rather than tear us down. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined foods, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals has created our 40-day and 40-night 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free and has a 10 to 20-year shelf life if stored at 60 degrees or less. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. These are selling out fast at 1/3 the price of storable food packages. Call us at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com, enerfood.com. 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com.
Welcome back, folks. Nathan Liao here. The website is watchmanscry.com. com. Today is Tuesday, July 19th, 2011, the year of our Lord. And before the break, we were talking about the events that are facing all of us, the events that are barreling down the runway, down the track toward us. My friends, as I stated in the first half, Comet Elenin is just one thing that may or may not occur. But Comet Elenin aside, there are other events that we are, without a doubt, going to experience and we're going to witness. The economy of the United States right now is continuing to implode. When this episode of the debt ceiling began, the rest of the world was watching, and they're not very happy with us right now, my friends. China is not happy. Russia is not happy because they just see us as just playing around with the rest of the world's investments and making politics out of their investments. As the United States wrangles with what to do over this debt ceiling, on the sidelines, there are ramifications right now. Without them even solving the problems, it's already starting to affect the markets of the world. Silver has gone crazy. It's recovered some of the losses that it had several months ago, and it is back up to $40. Gold reached $1,600. It's retreated just a little bit since then, but now silver and gold are climbing back up. And then we're hearing Mr. Ben Bernanke talk about quantitative easing part three. He's saying that he might have to do it. And then they were saying, no, we won't do it. But then we will, but then we won't. My friends, the world does not like this. This emotional roller coaster, this ping pong match that the Fed is doing with the people that have invested their hard-earned dollars and for countries that have invested their billions and billions into the U.S. dollar. But here's what's going to happen. The end game, the end result is this, my friends. The powers that be want to have a worldwide depression. The powers that be want to make an even playing field throughout the world. Right now, as it stands, we have first world economies, we have second and third world economies. The powers that be want to equalize all of the economies of the world so that they can have their new world order. In order to do this, the United States needs to go down to second world status, and in some places, even third world status. The middle class needs to be demolished and eliminated and vaporized in America. Also, in the Eurozone, the same thing needs to occur. The middle class needs to be done away with in the West. Now, from the perspective of God, this is all part of His judgment. It's a chastisement, and it's going to change the rules on how Christians live. It's going to change the rules on our perspective. It's going to change the priorities. It's going to change the things that we find important. God is doing this to purge all of us, to purge His church. But down from the ground level, from the perspective of the earth, the powers that be are going to destroy the nation of America. They're going to dismantle the assets of America. And there's going to be a fire sale occur in America. Now, when we look at Greece, and when we see the austerity measures that have been imposed upon Greece by the European Central Bank and the IMF, by Hillary Clinton that went over there and praised the leaders and said, you're doing good to have these austerity measures. To the man in the street, austerity means now you're poorer than you used to be. Now you're broke. Now you don't have extra money. Now you have to worry about things like the light bill and food. But that's what's happening in Greece, and they're livid about this. The people on the street are angry. They're rioting in Greece and in other nations of Europe, Italy, Portugal, Spain. The Eurozone is on the brink of collapse right now, my friends. And what we see happening over there is just a little taste of what's going to happen here in America. Because those austerity, cost-cutting measures that Greece has done, what they're arguing about right now in the White House and in those congressional meetings when it comes to the United States debt ceiling. In order for this to be remedied, there are things on the chopping block, and there's a chance that if some of you are receiving entitlements, a portion of them may be reduced or cut. Folks, we need to face this. This is why I have been saying over and over, changes are coming. Things are going to get expensive. Poverty is coming. Lamentations is coming to America. My friends, the New World Order powers that be want this to happen. The results of their meetings, folks, cuts are coming. It's going to affect all of us. We're also going to see America start selling off her assets. She's going to sell off her roads and national parks and the resources that belong to the citizens. The fire sale is coming, and it's going to be sold to the highest bidder that happens to be a member of the elite. End result, we're going to have a great divide. We're going to have the few at the very top that are very wealthy, but then the rest of us are going to be thrown down. It's going to be like the Dark Ages, my friends. This is coming, and the sacrifice is our lifestyle and the future of our children and our grandkids. And as a result of that, things are going to become very, very expensive. The devaluation of the dollar, in their eyes, needs to happen. In the eyes of the powers that be, they need to reduce the wages of Americans. It's a very, very brutal, senseless plan that they have, but it's in play right now. And for the many people that want to just sit around and continue to watch their American Idol or play their video games, they may or they may not stay tranquilized. But the U.S. government is trying to keep the citizens at bay by giving out the rations. And the rations today are the food stamps and the unemployment checks. My friends, a lot of people may think that we're not in a depression, but in the first depression, there were bread lines and food lines. In the depression right now, the bread lines and the food lines are those EBT cards that most people that are unemployed have now. What we see happening in Greece is going to come here. We are going to see a societal breakdown where eventually some people are going to start waking up and say, this is not right. This is not fair. I don't like these terms. I thought it was just temporary. I thought I was just going to be unemployed for 6 months. What do you mean for 5 or 10 more years? Or what do you mean I may never find a job? Folks, that's what we're looking at. Great changes are coming to America. We're actually going to be seeing where some people on minimal retirement are going to flee to live in Mexico. Several years ago, it was the other way around. The immigrants would come from the South to find a better future, to try to live and survive. It's going to turn around now. In the future, we're going to see immigrants to Mexico. Great changes are coming, my friends. And if some of you are trying to really, really convince your loved ones and your friends, your pastor, that we're in the middle of a great, great transition and they don't want to believe you, if they say, the news tells us that the recovery is here, it's going to be fine, there's nothing to worry about, I want to lead you to a website. For those of you that like to do research, if you have a pen and paper, write this down, my friends. The website is called dailyjobcuts.com. It's all one word. DailyJobcuts.com. This website places the notices of the layoffs that have occurred throughout America and in parts of Canada for that day. It also includes and mentions the companies that are going bankrupt, and it also mentions the companies that are closing, the stores that are closing. I was just there a few days ago and I printed out. I was amazed, folks. In the span of 3 days, listen to this. Cisco is going to be laying off 11,500 people. That was announced yesterday. Borders Bookstore, have you folks heard this? Borders Bookstore, almost 400 stores, are closing indefinitely. They're shutting down. They're going out of business. And it's going to lay off almost 11,000 workers. Reader's Digest is for sale because they're not making any money. San Francisco Superior Courts. Well, look at this, folks. 200 plus court employees are going to be laid off. Now, what's that about? I thought that when you had a job with the government, it was secure. Well, not according to this. San Francisco Superior Court has announced Monday that it's laying off more than 40% of its staff and shutting 25 courtrooms because of budget cuts. As a result of that, the civil justice system in San Francisco is going to collapse, said presiding Judge Feinstein. The future is very bleak for our courts, and what that means is it's going to take many, many more hours to pay a traffic ticket in person. So if you live in San Francisco, plan to wait in line to pay your ticket if you show up. It's going to take up to 18 months to finalize a divorce. So those that are getting divorced in San Francisco, it's going to take a year and a half. And it's going to take 5 years for a lawsuit to go to trial. Also, the city of Chicago is laying off 625 city employees And it goes on and on, my friends. You can go there and read it. Every day, layoffs are occurring in this nation. And they're occurring in categories that you would never, ever think that they would happen. Eastern Michigan University is laying a lot of their employees off. Nationwide Insurance is laying off. The Whirlpool plant in Amana is laying off 350 employees. The state of New Hampshire, Indiana University, the Ohio Education Department. Folks, it goes on and on. Memphis City Schools, Connecticut, laying off almost 500 employees. Many state troopers are losing their jobs. The big bank, UBS and Credit Suisse, almost 6,000 employees. So if some of you are trying to convince your friends that the recovery is not here and they say, yes, it is, take them to this website, my friends. It's incredible. BBC News, 3,000 employees. Oh, and get this one. You know, folks, there's a lot of people that see what's happening. You have a high school graduate that looks around and says to their parents, Mom, Dad, what should I do with my future? There's no jobs out there. And their parents say, well, my son, this is a military family, and your uncle was in the military, and your grandpa, all of our relatives have served this country, so why don't you join? Join the Navy. The Navy is a good place for you to go. Okay, Dad, I'll do it. Well, have a report right here. The Navy, the U.S. Navy, is going to be laying off sailors. Can you believe this? The Navy plans to let go of 3,000 sailors with between 7 and 14 years experience after economic uncertainty has put the service in the unusual position of having too many people. They have a surplus of manpower. This move also comes as a new government report shows that the unemployment rate is now above 9.2, making 29 straight months that the number has been over 8%, and this is a record since, get this folks, the Great Depression. I notice a lot of time the news reports say this is the highest amount of this or that since the quote-unquote Great Depression. They're comparing our economy now to the Great Depression. When you have a recession, you don't compare a recession to the Great Depression. You do not compare an economic recovery to the Great Depression. You don't compare a slowdown to the Great Depression, my friends. What does that tell us? For those that have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, that means that we are in a depression right now. The story goes on and says it's a complete reversal for the military, which just 4 years ago, at the height of fighting in Iraq, had a hard time meeting their recruiting goals. So what they're going to do, folks, is lay them off, because the story goes on to say there will be no retirement for them and there will be no severance for them. So essentially, they're just going to be with the rest of the Americans. They're going to be unemployed. The Navy is laying off employees, sailors. Story goes on and say in October, which is just a few months away, the U.S. Army is going to be laying off 22,000 soldiers. That means even more people that are going to be unemployed. Now, it was a few months ago where I mentioned that I had a dream, and I want to mention it right now because I think this dream might be possibly about to be fulfilled. Now, when I had this dream, I was in my car leaving a shopping center, and I was at a red light leaving the shopping center parking lot to enter traffic. So I was at a four-way intersection. And I was facing, to the northeast of me, there was an apartment complex that was about three stories high. And then I suddenly heard the rumble of an airplane, and I looked up through my windshield, and it was a regular passenger plane. And this airplane was missing its left wing, so it was leaning to the right where the right wing was connected. And it could no longer stay in the air, and it crashed right into that apartment building that was across the street from me. Right after the airplane crashed behind it, there was a ball of fire, a loud explosion, and then the apartment building had all of the residents that lived in it running out. And this apartment building was three stories, and it had balconies that were facing me, and probably three-fourths of the balconies were suddenly filled with people. There was a sliding door to go into their balcony. They opened the door, and then the people came out on the balcony looking around to find out what the explosion was. Now, this is the part that was interesting. The people that came out on their balcony were all dressed in army fatigues, the BDUs. So that told me that it was military housing that was on fire. And then on the second floor, around the middle of the building, an individual came out, and he was the only one that was not wearing fatigues, but he came out and he was dressed in civilian clothes, and he was angry, and he had a handgun in his hand, and he started firing down at the crowd, at the street, at everyone, just indiscriminately. He was mad. Within a few seconds, I heard some gunfire go off from my right, and I suppose it was the police shooting him, and they shot him, and then he draped over the balcony, and he quit moving, so I assumed that he was dead. And then I got out of my car and started trying to warn everyone that the building was on fire, and then my dream was over. And for the last few months, I have wondered and wondered what that dream means, and now that this wrangling is going on with the Congress and with Obama, this is what I'm wondering, folks, and I could be wrong, but this is what I'm wondering. This plane that I saw had no left wing, so it only had a right wing. So does that mean that something that the right wing of the government's going to do is going to affect the budgets of army housing or military housing? Are we going to see the military get cut? And as a result of that, is it going to anger some military service people to the point where some of them go ballistic? Or does the dream mean that the left wing is at fault because it fell off the plane, so they're the ones that are going to cause it? I don't know, my friends, but I'm just throwing that out right now because when I first had the dream, I didn't understand it, but perhaps that's what is going to happen. Now, moving on, in addition to the Navy laying off employees, Bank of America is also laying off employees. And if some of you have not heard this news, I think it's something to be concerned about if you have an account with Bank of America. Bank of America needs to make a bond offering because they need to raise money to the tune of $50 billion in order to stay afloat and survive. So does that mean Bank of America is going to have problems? Are they going to go out of business? Are they going to declare bankruptcy? I don't know, folks, but there are rumblings of this in the financial markets. So take that information to heart if it might affect you. Do what you need to do, folks. Relocate your money if you have money with Bank of America. In addition to them, you know, folks, this thing was 10 pages long. It just goes on and on and on. Thousands of employees in different companies all over the country are being laid off. It's happening right now, folks. A few weeks ago, I had a soundbite from Fox News where one of the talking heads said, based on the numbers that we're looking at right now, it appears that some of the people that are unemployed right now may never ever find employment if they're in their mid to late 50s or older, based on the job market and based on the economy. Folks, news like this I know is not pleasant to hear, but these are the things that we're facing. Schools are laying off teachers. There's a school district outside of the Dallas area that is going to start charging the parents up to $185 to take their kids to school in the school buses. In other words, the school bus will no longer be free in their school district. These changes are happening all around us, my friends. And the big question is, how far will the butchering go and which of us is going to be immune? Is it going to change our life? Will it change your life? Will the status quo continue? Is it going to be turned around in 2012 because Mr. Rick Perry is going to become the president? By the way, side note, in 08, and I believe that was 3 years ago where I talked about this in one of my earlier programs, Rick Perry went to the Bilderberg meeting in 2008, but he didn't run in 2008. And back then, I had a suspicion that since he went there, the kingmakers of the Bilderberg group get to decide who their groomed candidates are going to be. So Mr. Perry has been waiting in the wings and the sidelines, and now we're starting to hear about his interest in running for president. My friends, this isn't a coincidence. And for those that are going to get caught up in the great Savior Perry that's going to show up and turn this nation around, my friends, know this. He's a Bilderberger. So how secure can that be? Now, as we continue looking at the contagions that are happening right now, again, my friends, it may be Europe that collapses first, or it could be America. This summer and this coming fall are going to be very, very pivotal months, and we're going to finally see the darkness arrive over this land. One thing that I wanted to mention is when the crash finally does arrive, the thing that seems to be very mysterious and hard to pinpoint is how quick the change will happen. Will it happen overnight? Will we wake up one morning on a Monday or a Tuesday morning and turn on the news and hear that there's a run at all the banks in America? Or is it going to continue in slow motion? Thus far, it's happening in slow motion. And because of that, a lot of people are still sleeping and they're really not concerned. You know, folks, today's society is far, far different than the society that was 100 years ago. During the 1800s or even in the 1700s, there was a desire and a striving for going west and finding the dream, the striving to homestead, the desire to make it happen, the desire to have their own land and plant their own crops and build their own house, the desire to work hard, no matter what the price was. And the manifesto of America in the early years of this nation was fueled by the desire to improve and to work hard. It didn't matter what the cost was. And even at the risk of dying, people got on the Oregon Trail and they crossed the country. They sacrificed to start all over. They prepared, they planted, they built, they saved and stored. And they survived through hard winters. And they did all of this without the internet, without cars, without electricity. They did it with hand tools, with blisters on the palms of their hand. They did it with craftsmanship, where pride was placed into their work. They did it with fortitude. They did it with the fear of God. They did it with principle. And they did it leaving a legacy that their sons and daughters and grandkids and great-grandkids can look back and see. They did it, my friends. And now here we are, the couch potato capital of the world, America, the land of video game addicts, TV addicts. America is the land of pretend, the land of text messages, the virtual world, the land of no concern, the land of souls that are plagued with attaining pleasure, the land of procrastination, the land of I don't know where food comes from. Folks, how many of the members of society today, if they were placed in a time machine and were taken back to the year 1810 and were given a homestead and were told that the only way you're going to be alive next spring is if you plant this summer and then harvest and then store, how many people would survive? How many people would find that overwhelming? How many people would say, how dare you make me work that hard? How many people would find it offensive that the local village would not take care of them and give them free food? How many of today's residents of America or even the West or Europe would go back to 1810 and be shocked when they see that you had to raise your own animal, and then when it was full grown, it had to be killed, slaughtered, butchered? How many would be shocked if they found out their hands had to get bloody and dirty? How many would say, I'm not going to do that? That's gross. How many would cry and say, that's mean to the poor little animal, the poor cow, the poor sheep, that poor little chicken? That's cruel. I'm not going to murder that animal. How many, my friends? Today, America just wants the dessert tray. It wants to party. It wants pleasure. It wants to be rewarded. Because after all, the American dream means I must reward myself because I deserve it. Looking out for number one, my friends, how many could go to 1810 and survive? How many have the mental capacity, the mental fortitude to adapt? How many have the spiritual fitness to weather a long winter, living out in the prairie somewhere? How many could do that, my friends? Today, modern society has made zombies and anesthetized them in their mental capacity. Today, society has given chemical lobotomies to many of the citizens who do not want to deal with their surroundings, the stressful situation. The chemical lobotomies are occurring all around us. Antidepressants, tranquilizers, drugs, chemical dependencies. Today's society, in spite of all the luxuries and the modern conveniences, cannot deal with the pace of its own making. My friends, as we watch the events that are approaching, many of us are going to find ourselves having to change our lifestyle. Many of you may have to uproot. Many of you may find yourself having your own fire sale, selling everything that you own, and fleeing as a refugee. Perhaps you'll flee to a place that you've heard is a little easier to survive in. Perhaps some of you will uproot and finally leave the city because the crime will be so horrible. And the acts of human nature will become more and more evil and devilish in your city. Folks, I'll just say this. If at all possible, I would advise, and this is just me talking. This is not the Holy Spirit talking. This is just logic talking based on the understanding of what's coming and how evil and wicked people are going to be in your city. My friends, if it is at all possible, prayerfully consider leaving the city if you happen to live in a city, because the city is going to implode. And when the crash finally arrives, there may be limitations on travel inside of cities. Cities may become enclosed. It may be harder and harder to travel about in cities with curfews and with the crime that's going to be happening. Folks, just think about this. When the crash happens, there's going to be a disruption in distribution of products. And this includes medicine. This includes the medicines that are delivered to pharmacies. So here's one scenario right here. When the crash happens, and if a disruption were to occur in your city, and if the people who depend on their meds were not able to get their meds, and if the meds that these people depend on keep them tranquilized, perhaps the medicine helps them to hold on to their sanity, what's going to happen to thousands and thousands of people in the cities who can no longer have their antidepressants and the tranquilizers, their lithiums, their meds? What's going to happen to cities when some budget cuts will no longer allow some of the facilities that house people that need to be medicated? What's going to happen to those that are certifiable when the budget cuts shut down the facilities that they're staying at and they're allowed to leave? We're going to see a lot of people walking up and down the streets that are homeless, living under bridges, who talk to themselves. You know, folks, many of those people who do talk to themselves are demon possessed. When we look in the scriptures, we see that when Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee, he came upon the demon-possessed man who had a legion of demons inside of him. And of course, Jesus had authority over this man, but how many people are going to be walking around that are demon-possessed in America, in the cities? There's going to be thousands. And how many of these people who are quote-unquote sick are going to participate in crimes and hurt others? How many of them that are quote-unquote sick do not know right from wrong according to their doctors? They have no conscience, and they're going to be running loose. That's just one category, my friends. When I saw great darkness coming upon the land, it was hard to bear. The Holy Spirit said, great evil and darkness is going to arrive. And that's why I've said over and over, if you can, leave the city, my friends. I know that this topic is commonplace here on this program, but I want to see you survive. Now, in addition to those of you that live in the city, here's another question. In the post-collapse world, what are the things that will be of value? Because in regular American lifestyle, the things of value seem to be the toys and the gadgets, the things that make life pleasurable, the things that allow people to experience entertainment, whether it's iPods or video games or movies or TV. Those are the things that have a hold of many, many people. But in a post-collapse world, the items that are going to be of value are going to be far, far different. The priorities are going to change, my friends. In a post-apocalyptic world, the most important things are going to be the basic necessities just to survive, like the ability to find water, the ability to filter water, growing food, having stored food, having animals that can give you food, like chickens that lay eggs, like raising animal for protein and meat sources. You know, folks, I know that a lot of people really don't like thinking about this because it's smelly and it's stinky and it's dirty and it's the work is too hard. It's inconvenient. I find it quite common that a lot of people who can would rather make excuses. Now, if you live in an apartment building, of course you can't have a cow or chickens. But I'm talking about people who might have some extra land. And many of you that do have land, have you started making preparations like that? Are you trying to prepare a garden? Or are you trying to research how you can raise animals? I find it very striking. And I live here in northern Idaho, and sometimes when I'm driving around, my wife and I will note some of the properties where there's a beautiful house surrounded by 20 acres of grass and a few pruned trees. But even out here, some of the people who are sleeping have their retirement home, and they just want to have their yards that are nice and green with beautiful lawns. And of course, the people that are sleeping right now would say, it's easier to go to Safeway and buy beef from the meat department. And in a perfect world, that's true. It is easier. But for those of you that may not have noticed, food is getting very, very expensive. I am watching beef prices continue to climb. So food in the post-collapse world is going to be a prime commodity. It's going to be the most important thing. So my friends, once again, folks, please consider engaging yourself in the new thought process. because we're about out of time. Based on the information that I'm reading, the collapse could happen this fall, and after that, it's going to be a whole new world. So we're in the final lap, folks. Your preparation to-do list is running out of time. Folks, in the last remaining months of summer, gather all that you can in your last remaining preps. These things that I'm mentioning, water sources, ways to store water, ways to obtain water, ways to filter water, food-producing animals, sources of heat, sources and ways to cook food if the grid were to go down, propane or solar heat, firewood. There are a lot of different ways to cook. And my friends, in the last remaining months that we have, use these summer months to do some dry runs, to practice, to figure out ways that you will be able to cook if the power should go out. What are you going to use for fuel? If you say, well, the only source I have is electrical power in these apartments I live in. Well, if that is your limitation, my friends, that's also something to pray about. Maybe you need to move out of those apartments and try to find a house that has a different source of heat. I can't say it enough, my friends. There's a very, very high probability that all of the excuses that any of us can make are not going to matter in about 3 to 6 months. Folks, there's a laundry list of things that need to be gathered. Have you invested in a generator? Ways to continue generating some power if you need to? Do you have a way to protect yourself, your family? Do you have tools that you might need? Axes and saws to cut firewood? Warm clothing? Do you have medicine? Do you have your Bible? Do you have the Watchman's Cry library of programs downloaded to your computer, to your MP3 player so you can hear them? Folks, there's a lot of work to be done. And I'm talking about the crash of the economy right now because, folks, the writing's on the wall. It's going to be happening. As I stated in the first part of this program, the drought that is underway in Texas is a physical manifestation of the condition of man's hearts. And in the last few minutes of this program, I want to read you a passage from the book of Psalms. It comes from Psalms chapter 32. If you have your Bible, please turn to Psalms 32 and follow along with me. But before I start, I want to say this. I know that living in Babylon is a challenge. I know that living amongst people that are unclean and dwelling with people that are impure and dark can be a very hard challenge. I know that living in the West can be a challenge. Whether you're in Europe, Australia, America, Canada, it can be a challenge because the West believes in their liberty, but they also believe in sexual promiscuity out in the open. They believe in pleasure. And because of that, being a Christian in this world, in Babylon, can be challenging because the book of 1 John tells us that everybody stumbles. If anyone says that they're without sin, they're a liar. Over and over on these programs, I challenge those of you that are listening to find your place with God, to become allied with God, to find your solitude with God. And I know that for those that have the discipline to have devotion with God, the habit has already been established to have devotion with God and to pray and to go into your prayer closet and talk to Him and to repent and restore the relationship if you have blown it. But also, I know that amongst those that are listening, some of you are struggling because you do live in a fallen world, amongst a fallen people, amongst an evil people, and their temptations, their lifestyles have influenced you to stumble, to make the wrong choices, to fall into sin. And there's a good chance that amongst all of you that are listening, there are some that maybe are dry with God. You are in a drought with God. And when you try to pray, it feels like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling and it's hard to bear and you just can't break through in your prayers. My friends, if this is you, I want you to know that you're not alone. Because many, many Christians, unfortunately, from time to time, go through dry spells and go through seasons where they are not where they want to be with God. And Psalms 32 talks about this. So I would like to read this and I want to just say a few things about it. Psalms 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now this psalm starts right out by saying that the person that's forgiven is blessed. For some of you that may have stumbled and you have not repented, then your sin is not forgiven. And most likely, if you're a Christian and you don't like this, there's a certain atmosphere that accompanies our Christian walk when your sin is not forgiven. And it's actually talked about right here in the psalm. It goes on. Look at verse 2. Blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. That means God has finally forgiven you, and he's now looking the other way because it's been dealt with. And in whose spirit there is no deceit. Now, what does that mean? Well, at times, Christians can walk around, and if they have not repented of a sin that they're holding on to, there's a tendency for them to deceive themselves to think that everything's okay, but it's not okay if we're harboring sin. And then verse 3 goes on and says, when I kept silence about my sin, that's what it's talking about, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long. And right here, my friends, this is actually the end result of holding on to harbored sin. There's a heaviness that goes with it. There's a heavy feeling of pressure. Through my groaning all the day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. Those of you that are walking the Christian walk, you know what that feels like. It is some of the worst discomfort that we can be in, because the purity of a clear conscience is now a stranger. And there's a burdensome weight that is placed on the shoulders of individuals that have not repented. And while it may sound like something that's uncomfortable, there's a reason for that, because it's God's Holy Spirit that is weighing heavy upon us. It's his loving hand that is pressing on us, showing us that we need to repent. And that's his mercy that does that. And it goes on, my vitality was turned into the drought of summer. And there it is right there, my friends. The spiritual energy that we should have is diminished and it's gone. The confidence that we should have with God is gone. Our strength, our boldness is gone, and it turns into a drought. Our inner soul becomes a famished land. Our soul becomes lean and empty. My friends, that situation is what happens when we do not repent, when we harbor sin and hold on to it. And as I stated earlier at the beginning of this program, the drought that is happening in the South right now, it's a prophetic illustration of the condition of the souls of men. That's why there's a drought right now. It's a judgment to show us that much repentance needs to take place in the hearts of many people. So my challenge to you and what I'm saying right here is, please don't allow that drought to continue in your life. My friends, God is just a short prayer away, a moment away from you. And if some of you are in a spiritual drought because you've been harboring some things, you've been too busy to pray lately, and it's hard to dig into God, you find yourself really struggling, my friends, I want to encourage you and let you know that God is waiting to forgive you, to comfort you. And if you're feeling this heaviness, that's the Holy Spirit of God trying to woo you back. So please respond to it. I encourage you to take this psalm into your prayer closet when you're able to. I want to encourage all of you that are listening to please make the time to have a devotion with God. And when you have your devotion, shut the door behind you, get alone with him, get away from others, and read this psalm. And make it a prayer. Psalms 32. Verse 5 says, I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. And I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord. And then look at this, my friends. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. You see, folks, that's all it takes. It takes coming to God, being poor in spirit, like the tax collector. It takes coming to God and saying, God, have mercy on me. Woe is me, I am undone. God, forgive me. It takes coming to God and admitting that you blew it, and then asking him for his mercy, telling him how you cannot survive without him, telling him how he's your oxygen, telling him how your days would be numbered without him, telling him that you don't want to leave that room until he touches you. Let him know your thoughts, my friends. He's merciful, and he'll forgive. Well, my friends, it looks like we're out of time. I want to leave you with that. Hard times may be coming. Challenging times are going to be coming. But if you find yourself alone and with God, you will be the majority. He loves you, my friends. Real quick, I want to say, folks, please share these messages with your friends, with your loved ones, with your pastor. You're free to download them and post them on other websites, put them on YouTube. These programs are my gift to you to get the warning message out. Also, I want to say, if you appreciate what we're doing here at Watchman's Cry Ministries, we appreciate your support. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. My friends, God bless you, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Sometimes hallelujah. Sometimes
sometimes praise the Lord, sometimes gently singing our hearts in one accord. Oh, let us lift our voices, look toward the sky and start to sing. Oh, let us now return His love, just let our voices ring. Let the sound of praises fill the air. Oh, let us sing the song of Jesus' love to people everywhere. Sometimes I gently sing.